How are you doing?
I'm tired.
Yeah,
How are you?
I'm groggy today.
Yes.
It's feeling like Vancouver weather, even though we're in
Yes.
Toronto.
Let's do a
So it's
weather
kind of,
check.
yeah, sure.
It's currently 6:14 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 degrees,
That's not bad here.
cloudy.
That's not so bad out
Yeah,
here.
it's not that bad,
It
but
could have been a negative six.
it's very gloomy today.
Yeah, which is very apropos to like revisit Vancouver feelings.
Yeah.
So I can't be mad at it.
Yeah. Maybe we can share a little bit about where we're currently based in Toronto.
Sure.
Painting the picture.
Let's also say how
Count.
much time has elapsed since we last sat
Oh,
down.
yes. Good point.
Was July or August last year?
I think it was before you went to the Philippines.
Oh, it
Oh,
was
wait, no.
before?
No, it was after. It was after. So
It had
August,
to be
definitely
after.
August. Sorry,
Yeah.
definitely August.
August was crazy then because we both moved in August after that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's been, what's the math on that? August.
That's almost 6 months. About 6 months.
About 6 months.
Yeah.
Holy
Whoa.
cow.
Wait. This is deeply uncomfortable. What do you mean it's been 6 months?
Oh no. We look very different and we sound very different and we are in very different places in our life now.
Yes, for context, Kathleen no longer has bangs.
And you no longer have red hair.
Will we revisit that in the summer? Stay tuned in our 12-month check-in.
We'll have this be the cornerstone every 6 month or so
Yeah.
to really ground ourselves.
Yes.
But going back to where we're based in Toronto, I'm technically still in Toronto, just not in downtown.
The entirety of, like, if you even go into Scarborough, that's Toronto, dude.
True.
Yeah. So
Okay.
you're in Toronto for sure.
Okay, so I'm
Yeah.
firmly in
You're
Toronto.
firmly in
It's
Toronto.
just that people, I know a lot of people who are based downtown that are like, you live so far away.
But that's just people having this complex of living in Toronto Centre. Yeah.
Yeah. So like I don't think I live too far away, but I do live on Woodbine, and that is pretty far on one end of the TTC, but it's like convenient enough, and like I live by the 506. Like just in terms of like how accessible downtown still is to me, I still
Oh,
say that
yeah.
it
I mean, you
is.
were able to come here in 30 minutes.
Yeah, easy,
That's totally
easy. It
fine.
was you're one street car away, so
Yeah.
it's very
Oh, yeah,
accessible.
that's also an update. We're like basically neighbors. No, we're not, but like we're like distant
That is a
neighbors.
stretch for sure.
I
But yeah, where are you based?
am based basically Yonge and Dundas, which for folks that may have never been to Toronto, is think about Times Square, New York, and think about the mini version of that. And what people immediately flock to when they come to Toronto is like the downtown core, like by Eaton Centre. And so very different to where I used to live, which is interesting because you basically lived in
I
downtown-ish.
lived a stone's throw away,
Yeah,
yeah.
like in Vancouver, and now you live in the suburbs, versus I live in the suburbs and now I live in downtown.
Yeah, we've
So
swapped.
it's been a very jarring experience of being by a mall, and basically living near a university that I don't attend and just seeing different students. So yeah, that's where I'm based.
Completely different makeup of the city.
Yeah. It's
Yeah.
crazy. Like I will walk to a different station, even though it's like 5 minutes more, to avoid Dundas Station because it's so overstimulating
That's
every
real.
single day.
That's so real.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything that you can do to just get away from the bustle of the city.
No, for real.
So sitting down again for Cuento con Maya is actually, I wouldn't say it was a discomfort for me currently. I think I'm just leaning into fascination at this point because
Totally.
knowing what we've been through in the last 6 months and knowing the experiences that we've had together, but then also the experiences we've had apart in our different master's programs and then also in our different social circles, there's just so much change. And it's interesting to revisit Kwantung in the way that, I mean, it's always going to come back to questioning how we feel about ourselves and then how we feel about community. And especially what we just went through last week,
Oh, yes.
I think it'll glean some really fascinating kind of things to tie back into.
Yes. And for those listening, Kathleen and I attended our first in-person Pinoy's Parliament, which is the largest national Filipino youth conference in Canada. But since it is in Ottawa, it tends to mainly draw folks from the east. So it's
Mainly
always just
people
been a distant
from
thing.
Ontario and Quebec.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even the Maritimes.
That's true.
No, Manitoba. So many people from Winnipeg,
Oh, no,
dude.
you're right.
So it's literally just the east.
I wouldn't even consider Manitoba the east, would you? Just because it's east of British Columbia, but everything's east of British Columbia.
Oh my God, that is going to geography.
Yeah, I mean,
But
regionalism is a real felt thing.
from my understanding, BC and Alberta are west, and Saskatchewan onward is east.
Saskatchewan onward. I would say that Saskatchewan and Manitoba are central
Oh, true.
or
I guess like any,
prairies, you know?
I guess BOP just attracts folks from prairies and east mainly
I guess
in
so.
terms of
No,
accessibility.
that's fair.
Because I looked the
There's
other
next to
day.
no people from BC,
Yeah,
aside from
because
us.
literally, because I looked the other day contemplating buying flight tickets home for Easter and tell me why round trip was
That's
$600.
gross. Absolutely
You
not.
know, and then accommodation. But yeah. Which
Yeah.
question do we want to dive into?
Ooh, I am leaning towards this middle one. What is your relationship to Filipino Canadian communities and how do you access it?
Yeah. So I guess like when I arrived here, I really wanted to focus on settling in first. But since I met another Josel at a different conference and she lives here, she really kind of just like welcomed me into the Filipino community through a birthday party of her sister, like who I had no connection with whatsoever.
So
But
lovely.
it was such a Filipino tendency to just invite, you know, extended people. And like that's where I met like my first, I guess, like introduction to like different Filipinos, like in Toronto. And so I got to meet like some of like my closest friends I would consider like living here now. And so for me, my relationship to like Filipino PhilCan communities is really just through like kapwa and kinship, and being able to like see a sense of familiarity. Like it was always nice to walk around the streets in Toronto and be like, oh my God, that's a Filipino, and trying to find a sense of familiarity. And then through extension of that, getting roped into like Filipino community work.
It always comes back
Granted, I
around.
know, but granted that it's not as extensive as back in Vancouver, which I do find peace in because it allows me to just relax and explore the city and find myself in it. It is nice that I can still in some capacity be involved in the Filipino community here and be able to see the potential differences. What about you? I'll turn the other qu question over to you.
My relationship to communities in Toronto, how I'm able to access them. I don't think it's as concrete as maybe your story is sounding so far. What's fascinating though is that it came to me first through music. I didn't realize that, well, for one, my entry point into meeting Filipino musicians in the city was a particular case for me, partly because my partner's second cousin is a musician. And that was such a particular one-on-one connection that I'd met her within the first month or two of being in Toronto. And then she's like, oh yeah, you should come to my show. And then at her show, we're meeting like at least three other Filipino musicians. And then like I'm starting to get to know not just the music scene, but then also like who is like doing things in very similar ways. I think music has always been a huge community building tool for me. And like I'm sure we'll get to the art thing in general in a second as well, but it's always so cool for me to see whenever it overlaps. Because I realize that in my life that happens way more often than I give it credit for. And yeah, I would actually count that as my first in to finding community here, with finding a certain kinship with other Filipinos. Another one really quickly and ironically enough was actually going to the Filipino Catholic Church.
That.
Yeah, because I had gone for the first time with my parents when they were here for a week helping me settle in. I wanted to take them specifically to this church because it they had marketed themselves essentially as like, we are the Filipino Catholic Mission. It seemed like a church that was distinctly built for the community. So I was like, okay, we got to check that out. We don't have anything necessarily like that in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. And we went to a 5 p.m. Filipino mass. They went full on, and they do that every week.
Mm-hmm.
So to hear that and basically feel like, whoa, I got transported straight back to like Manila or straight back to the mm-hmm. Philippines. They're singing all the hymns that I barely know. They're singing all the parts of the mass. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so immersive. And that yeah. I actually barely understand anything that's going on, but in a good and strangely familiar way.
Mm-hmm.
I went once more during Advent, mm-hmm. leading up to us going home for the holidays, and I cried.
Oh,
I had a whole thing where I was just like, I feel like my family is here.
That's so sweet.
Yeah, and especially because I think in the way that I would answer this even prior to leaving Vancouver, for St. Pat's to feel like home for me was huge.
Mm-hmm.
And to kind of tap back into that feeling through going to the Filipino church here, it's called Our Lady of Assumption. And it's mm-hmm. like an hour away from me. Like I would commute and it was like a trek.
Where's the base? What's the intersections?
Up Bathurst.
Oh.
Bathurst and somewhere up north, mm-hmm. maybe St. Clair. But yeah, it was a bit of a trek for me to get there. And I thought that it was worth it enough for me to tap back into that feeling.
Oh.
So that was maybe a second pull, even though I don't know particular people there, it yeah. was just the atmosphere and just okay. like the immersion of it. And like knowing that like I'd see my parents in this space and then like I still feel them mm-hmm. there and like feel like my Lola there somehow, even though she's never been in that actual church. There's like a spirituality aspect to it where mm-hmm. even though I still am navigating my own relationship to religion and being Catholic, I find that it's still a strong feeling that I can depend on if I wanted to feel close to my family. I would know yeah. to go to church.
Yeah, it's that sense of familiarity.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. Because like the church that I went to a couple times here, it's like 9 minutes away.
Mm.
It's like a mix of people, and so there's not, I don't see necessarily a lot of Filipinos, so I can understand how like going to that church specifically can bring a lot of comfort.
Yeah.
But I also want to add, I totally forgot access to Seafood City.
Oh my god,
because it's like a physical place, and like yeah. making a trip out of it to go to Seafood City. And then ooh. When I go there, at least it's been 10 years since I've been to the Philippines, but when I go there, it's like the immediate feeling of like, you see all the baked goods, you see all the Filipino workers, you have Grill City. I saw one day that random tita leading Zumba in front of the cashier.
Real community programming yeah. happens in Seafood City.
And so it's crazy. I love it. And so like that was such an interesting element. So I would be so fascinated if, you know, Seafood City was to be hopefully one day brought to Vancouver, like what that would look like. But that's a whole other thing we're not going to get into.
But I
want to bring that up.
I will say that if you have your association to the Philippines with Seafood City, my association with Seafood City is going across the border. You know, like going
to
Seattle.
Oh yeah, totally. But I mean in terms of like the vibes, the environment, just is giving Philippines.
Oh, absolutely.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because border. Crossing the border, 100%.
It's just, I wanted to shout that part out because it's so particular to being Filipino in Vancouver for me.
Oh, yeah, totally.
To, like, leave Vancouver and then go to the States, specifically to access Jollibee and Seafood City. That was a whole thing of my childhood.
I feel like if we told our Toronto Filipino friends about that, they'd be like, what?
Yeah.
What do you mean you cross the border for Seafood City?
Most definitely. They're like, are you absurd? Like, there's no way. Like, why wouldn't you have that there?
No, literally.
And I actually get a similar reaction to like, oh, you don't have Filipino language classes out in BC?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't have certain accesses to these things? Like, mm-hmm. what? What do you mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's fascinating to make that comparison with other people who don't know any different.
Yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that feeling was also very deeply felt at POP.
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to go into the dance thing? Because I think this is going to loop into the question of
the practices and mm-hmm, customs.
Practices, customs, traditions.
But yeah, like also we might have skewed data on this because other Joselle definitely knows Electric Slide. But basically what Kathleen and I discovered, quote unquote, is that there wasn't as much enthusiasm for the Electric Slide, which arguably is one of the top line dances in the West Coast of Filipinos.
I'm biased, but that's indisputable for me.
Yeah, it's totally indisputable. But when we were at POP, Literally everyone was dancing todo todo. I'm really rough at it, but it isn't my top choice. But tell me why, when I ran back in when we were about to leave to do the electric slide, our other friend didn't know who it was. Everyone was just gathered on the side. No one was excited to go to the middle to dance electric slide. And I felt like a sense of, this is such a wrong use of this word, otherness. Like, it's not, this is not correct use of
You
it at
felt
all.
othered.
Yeah, but I felt like super, yeah, I just felt really weird. I was like, what do you mean you're not excited about this? What do you mean you don't know the steps? Like, or like want to like be like, oh, like come teach me, like show me. Like, no, it was just me. It was me alone on the dance floor. And that was such a jarring experience as I've ever felt in the Filipino
And I'm so
environment.
sorry I wasn't capable of
That's
backing you
okay.
up in that moment.
That's
Oh
okay.
man. But yeah. Oh, it's a hurtful recognition, I think, for both of us to come away from that night and being like, why does no one know electric slide? Like, I need to tell my mom about this.
Yeah,
Like, no
and
one
want to
knows it
collect
up
data
here.
points. We literally went asking on people like, do you know this? Or like, at least are you like, are you aware of it? Maybe you just don't know how to dance it.
And the resounding answer being no was crazy.
No-ish. No-ish
No-ish.
unless you looked up a video, like, oh, actually, I do know that. But not knowing it off the bat, that was weird.
Because for us, like our immediate re it's like a guttural reaction almost, where it's like
My
you hear
soul
the
is
intro.
pulled into the dance floor.
You hear the intro and then you kind of just levitate straight there, you know? So it's night and day.
No, people were asking for Achy Breaky Heart.
Oh
No one
my God.
was asking for Electric Slide.
Ow.
I know, like, I do enjoy the dance, but the fact that people were like I looked at the videos after and everyone was dancing to Achy Breaky Heart. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, what do you mean?
That can't be it.
Anyways.
So that's
Pain.
the Bible truth that we are
That,
going to bring to the
yes.
next dance floor out here.
Yes.
But it is, I mean, the similarity that I felt resoundingly so throughout the conference was like, oh wow, what brings us to similarities and like what brings us in terms of the arts and line dancing. And I know that eventually karaoke was brought out that night, and
Oh,
it was just
yeah.
like it was that, how do I describe this? It's not just the feeling of not having to explain yourself. It's just, it was so explicitly and so directly Filipino, that conference experience, and getting to meet other youth who are at the same level, maybe of
Totally.
understanding, and at the same level of, I want to show up for this, I want to celebrate it, I want to meet you where you're at. And like just the depth, I think that all of us there were trying to get to really made that conference what it was. It was so deeply impactful to be in a space like that. And it only makes me think of like, I mean, because of our background of youth organizing, I guess, in Vancouver, why spaces like that don't thrive as much for our age groups or for our peer groups in Vancouver, the way that it seems so here.
I think it's because it's so heavily institutionalized. I mean, permitted that a lot of the attendants were Filipino student associations,
True.
there were still people beyond university that came, right? And so I think a big part of, you know, being a Filipino in Vancouver is like for like at SFU, like the FSA was only established in my last year of being there. At UBC, like UBC so far, so it's like if you're a Filipino student, more access to you, or like with student loan UBC, and then maybe if you know you're not necessarily like as exposed to like Filipino activism, maybe you won't join like groups like Sulong UBC or Migrante or Anak Bayan, right? Even there was like Radio Migrante, right? At POP. And so it's like I think it's because there is Filipino spaces beyond institutions, from my perception at least, in Central East Canada that I think provides more opportunity for that.
It makes me think of barriers to access, or maybe just, I mean, this is a very general word, but the literal sense of organization and organizing, sometimes there maybe isn't as much of an appeal to that. People just stick to, in my perception at least, people really stick to just like their family parties and then just having that be it, having contentness in that, which isn't to say that that's a bad thing. But it is just like, it's a very different sense of, I guess like growing up in spaces like that, it always made me wonder, like, there are more of us out there. I just never quite see it. And there's never quite like a unified sense of that.
Two things with that. The first one, I think from my understanding, the data shows that a lot of Filipino youth don't tend to go to post-secondary or they don't finish. And so I think that also affects the ability for them to engage in FSAs or have exposure or feel like comfortable to engage with organizations, because that's very intimidating, right?
Yeah, because how are
Like,
you going to be in an FSA if you're not a student?
yeah, exactly. And even like
Totally.
with Collingwood Neighborhood House, right? Like, what brought people or like what brought Filipino youth there is because they knew people there. So if you don't know anyone in an organization, you are less likely to go. The second thing being, reflecting on our time here together, the plethora of Filipino spaces that are outside of institutions. BD's Diner, like, we still have to go to Sorry Not Sorry, the Barkada Market. And then our other friend and I went to like another Filipino pop-up market and like the Ube Festival.
Ube Festival is
And even
big.
with the Ube Festival, it brought like not just Filipinos, but people of other backgrounds. And so I think really just the fact that, like, at least from my perception of being 6 months here, like the opportunities to connect with Filipinos outside of institutions is so key. And I think that's for me what's lacking in Vancouver. When I think about my entire life, like my 24 years in Vancouver, how long it took me to find Filipino community versus how long it took me here. And maybe it's because I feel more equipped and more extroverted to be like, let me just connect with these Filipinos and like more like accepting of my identity that I want to go out to these things.
Like
Like
actively seeking it.
actively seeking it, but also like in Vancouver, it just took me so long to find what worked for me or feel comfortable to be in an organization. So I think that is also a big thing.
Totally. I get the sense that the different places that you described, they're very much public settings, and it makes me just think of physical presence in the city. Like that matters. And I know we talk about it a lot in Vancouver, just in terms of food places, but there simply is just so much more variety out here in Toronto that it just makes it feel like there's no barriers to access.
Yeah, it's not just about food here. I mean, like, food becomes a central tenet to it, but there's so much more. And we're also based, I mean, you're almost in Scarborough, but we're also based in like Toronto core. But there are so many Filipinos in Scarborough, in Saga, right? So it's like we haven't even tapped into that yet. We're only tapping into what is available here. And like there are so many Filipinos up in like North York too. So it's like
Up
there's so
here.
many, like we haven't even been to like Filipino Town, which is up by Bathurst, right? I think we haven't even
Bathurst
been
and
there
Wilson.
yet. Yeah. So it's like the fact that we're able to access this in proximity to where we are
Yes.
is crazy to me.
Totally. Oh man. And I think there's been a very general understanding, even after not being here for so long, that Toronto just feels much bigger as a
Oh,
city. It's
totally.
like three times the size in my
It's
eyes.
overwhelming.
Yeah, it's huge. But then to be able to then see the amount of Filipino presence out here that is proportionate to that makes that overwhelming as well. It's like if
Totally.
they can show up that much over that big of a city, then what more for Vancouver? Right? Does making it feel like, I mean, not to call Vancouver necessarily a small town, but like it kind of does feel like small town, almost like
Totally.
inferiority energy, where it's like, does it feel like there isn't enough space for us? Or does it just feel like we're getting priced out all the time? Like, what is the barrier for us to keep showing up in these places, even for ourselves, even though it might seem like a selfish thing, or even though it's like we want to see like our parents' generation, our grandparents' generation in spaces outside of church, or in spaces outside of the Catholic schools that we grew up in, or outside of the restaurants? Like, there's just so much more to it that it could be that we're now seeing and like experiencing for ourselves out here, that I only wonder how, in what ways that can continue to grow in Vancouver's scene.
Yeah, so much. Are there any other differences that you want to point out? I'm trying to think, but
Between the two cities.
Actually, I don't have any personal experience with this, but it's interesting to see the cross solidarity here. I think For me, at least in my experience in Vancouver, a lot of the cross solidarity has been like between Filipinos and Chinese folks, but specifically in the context of like Chinatown, Hua Foundation.
Yes.
But here, especially when I'm attending, protests and seeing Anik Bayan speak at Palestine Solidarity Actions,
Yeah.
or seeing collaboration between the Filipino and Tamil community, like I find this so fascinating to see this cross solidarity. And community making in that way. But I don't have direct experience, but that is something that I've noticed.
Totally. There's a real sense of lateral support
Yeah.
that maybe disjointed is the word that I've experienced in Vancouver in the past and like in previous works that I've done, where it's like whenever they try to ask the question of like why isn't it working, you get the sense of like people are maybe very insular and like communities are like focused on their own things. Yeah, it keeps coming back to me as like a sense of scarcity, like the lack
Yeah.
of space, but also just the lack of
Resources.
resources, but also just the lack of maybe mental bandwidth because there's already a lot thrown on people's plates.
I think in Vancouver, it's always the same organizations and people because our circles run so small. Like it's
Yes.
so easy to refer to each other. But I don't think I have a face of the Toronto Filipino community here.
Yeah.
Because it's so different. Because I mean, there's also Saga and there's Scarborough, and I
Sure.
think it depends if you're like in business and like what field you're in.
Sure.
But yeah, it's hard to put a face versus in like Vancouver, there's so many faces that are very frequent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get the same players, you get the same stakeholders
And so
out there.
burnout is so real.
Totally, totally. Yeah, I guess here I hadn't quite put it that way, but I think you're right, where it's just like you don't have to put a face to it because the presence is persistent because people are cycling out. It's like there's an ebb and flow to not just community organizing, but the way that the community shows up, period. It doesn't necessitate the same people to do the same things.
Totally.
Which makes me wonder, like, is it a motivation issue that we face in Vancouver, or is it just like, I don't know, the passion of the very few that are gonna bring us through?
I literally think it's structural things. I think it's so much
Yeah.
systemic stuff that
Shoot.
prevents people from being able to engage. Vancouver and Toronto are equally expensive. And so it's like, if you're trying to survive, there's so many other things that you consider. Like, are you really going to go out all the way to like Collingwood if you want to do something? Like, that's why, I mean, here they also have like different events in different parts of Toronto, but besides, like, people just have to pick and choose what they can invest in. But yeah, such an interesting thought.
Yeah.
Do we want to wrap up? Yeah.
Sure.
Do you want to end with the question of, has the definition of home changed for you? Why or why not?
Has it changed for me? Actually, maybe it has. I'm go with the general sense that it hasn't for me first because I always resonate with the point of like home is wherever I land. Home is within me in a sense and is like a knowing that I can carry with me anywhere. But the extension of that as well is like home is in the people that I care about. And I know that by defining it that way, home is wherever my people are. Which makes me think that I've left home. It does feel like I've left home by leaving Vancouver. That was a real rerouting and a real settling period that I had to go through in those first few months of Toronto. But living alone, I think, has changed my definition of home because there's literally no people to be living with. So there's just that sense of like, yeah, I think I've really honed words. I've really honed the sense that home is something that I get to build for myself. And something that I get to, it's almost a non-answer, but home is what I define on my own terms. And it's a comfort level and it's a freedom to just vibe, you know? Like it's just I can do whatever I want when I'm
Yeah.
home.
It's like I love my parents, but I don't have to report to you what I'm doing when I'm just vibing.
Yes. And also, literally to that point, because I don't live with my parents anymore specifically, I don't have to report. I don't have to ba'alam. And getting to renegotiate that boundary feels more like I'm reclaiming home for myself.
I love that. And I really resonate too. I will say in terms of built environment, there are parts of Toronto that will never just feel like home in terms of like the lack of greenery.
Oh, yeah.
And I think whenever people ask me like, what do you miss the most? I'm like, I miss the mountains and I miss like, no offense to Toronto trees, but Toronto trees aren't it. Like, what is a Toronto tree? Okay. Disrespectful. Like, they
Fair.
also put them so far apart from each other. Like, you gotta put them together. Trees like when they're together. Sorry, that's a very nature answer. But yeah, like there are parts of Toronto that will never feel like home because there's no mountains, because there's no greenery, because access to water is huge for me. The fact that I have to walk 40 minutes to the waterfront
Oh God.
to just be able to see water. I haven't seen water in so long, by the way. Oh, wait, when we went to Ottawa, that was the first time I saw water
True, walking by
in
the
months.
river. Yes. Oh my God, in
It's
months?
like crazy. Yeah. Obviously,
No.
water that's not drinkable. Like, it's like in terms of like bodies of water.
Yes.
So, like, that part will not change in terms of how I define home. But in other ways, I do feel like the just like the network that I've built has felt so homey and makes me feel so comforted, seen, and loved. Even being in Ottawa, like being in our friend's apartment,
Oh.
felt so homey,
Yeah.
even though it wasn't my home. Like, I felt like so welcomed. And I think it's just the element for me, I think my previous answer was like my home is where the people are and not like a physical place, which I think still rings true for me. But I think in addition to home is like the feeling of being cared for
Yeah.
that really like has arisen from me, like moving out. Like even like if I'm living by myself, I still have roommates and I like take care of myself, like I like cook for myself.
Yeah.
I like clean, like make sure my space is clean and cozy. I feel like that has really helped me like further define what home means for me, for sure.
The feeling of being nurtured by the people that you care for. I've never felt hospitality to this depth. Now that I live alone and now that I have to like fend for myself in very real ways, the hospitality feeling is something I can't take for granted, or like I just know it at a deeper level now because whenever I welcome someone into my home, that's exactly the feeling that I want to give, and that's exactly the feeling that I think we've received from
So many
whenever
of
we
our
got hosted.
friends.
So it's a real shout out to quite literally the homies.
We love our homies.
Yeah, they're so great out here. And even just like that part that you said about feeling welcomed, there is like an instantaneous feeling to it. There was no warm up. And
So
like,
instantaneous. You're so right about that.
yeah, just the speed to which you already know that you care for each other in those ways was that's impacted me more here than I think anywhere else I've been.
Oh my gosh, me too. And like, it's crazy because there are parts of me that are like, girl, this is temporary. In terms of like perspective of life, there are ebbs and flows of people that will be in your life and will eventually, like, you'll be disconnected just because of reality. But it's been so nice to be able to sit and be present, being like, wow, I can't believe I have this like network at this moment. And like how incredibly like unique this situation in my timeline is. Like, for example, like you, me, and Justine, like the cutest trio
We
ever.
love this trio.
And
We
like
love
just like
it.
the way that that's aligned and like created a sense of home in such a unique timeline. Like this will never, literally never happen again.
Yes.
Just being real, but like it's like so cozy and like homey to think that way. And I'm like just trying to bask in like the fact that this is here.
Oh, there's a whole sentiment around the way that we've been able to share in this experience together, not just because we're from Vancouver and because we had a friendship background to begin with, but particularly because we get to share in this experience.
And because
It's
we're
so nice.
Filipino.
Yeah, and we don't have to explain ourselves. We just get it, you know,
Yeah. And
and
it made it
it's,
easier to connect to other people who were Filipino. It was really strong. It really showed how we literally uprooted ourselves, put ourselves in a new city, and still connected with Filipinos. Like, it just really shows like that connection.
Shared roots.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, this was an experiment. We were the experiment
We
for
are
this,
all a social experiment, and we are
for
researchers in
Kwentong.
training,
This was the experiment.
most definitely. And I think we're thriving, I
Yes.
gotta say.
Yes. Aside from grad school, yeah. I'm thriving
Grad
here.
school will feel thriving once it's done, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. A good degree is a finished degree.
That's a great way to end it.
And with that, we are done
Thanks,
our follow-up. Thank
Kathleen.
you.